Yo, what's up, folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Betascape Podcast, a podcast dedicated to masturbation, gooning, baiting, soul sexuality, and just general sexy sex talk. And on today's episode, I sit down and chat with Paul, the host and creator of Brain City Jax up in Seattle. For all my Seattle folks listening, shout out to y'all attending Paul's Jackal Party. We talk about who he is as a masturbator, how and why he created this Jackoff Club, and what it really means to be a great masturbator. So I hope you enjoy this episode. As always, thanks for listening.
But I got your notes, or yeah, I got your email this morning, and I had to Google what a rabble rouser was. I don't think I've ever heard that term before.
Yeah, it's I'm a rabble rouser. I like rouse the rabble to masturbate. That's kind of my thing.
I feel is that like a more positive? Well, I guess I was gonna say, is that a more positive term for like a punk? Because I feel like a rabble rouser.
Oh man.
Like, very punk attitude, right?
We are going to rub up against a lot of generational language differences, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm a total boomer. So I thought it was a pretty positive way of just kind of talking about what I have landed on doing at this point in my life.
No, I think it's a cool term. You also are a self-described sex nerd, which is really cool. I like sex nerds because I feel like there's really interesting things to be said about sex.
Oh, God, yes. And,
like, the exploration of sex. But I wanted to speak to you because we were having a meeting with Bait World, and they showed your video. You had posted a video on Bait World, and it was essentially kind of like a manifesto of sorts, a short manifesto of like why we are masturbators, what makes men masturbators. Or can you talk a little bit about why you wanted to make that video? Or is that this content that you typically put out?
Well, I've been making self porn for a long time, just like a lot of us, you know, just pointing the camera at myself and masturbating. And I thought I would experiment a little while ago with just talking to the camera, talking to the guys who are watching me. And my whole thing is being myself, being honest, being exactly who I am, exactly my age, you know, showing my face. So I thought I would kind of lean into that authenticity just by speaking what was on my mind. So that video started as just kind of an experiment in kind of a statement of intent. It's like, this is why I do this. This is what I think about what we're doing here. So yeah, it did kind of become a manifesto. And I couldn't believe how it caught on. Just, you know, that Bait World made me Bait World famous for about 15 minutes. And, you know, suddenly it was taking me hours to get through all my notifications, which was kind of fun. I'm glad it's done.
Yeah, because I think there's something really powerful about what you said. I think it speaks to a lot of people in the community and why we're so passionate about masturbating. But it's just, I always find it really interesting when someone can like eloquently speak on it. Like sometimes I have a lack for words. You could tell, are you like a writer also too? You sent me a bunch of stuff, but like, how long have you been doing this? Like practicing just like mindful masturbation, like talking about the art of it and...
I've been practicing mindful masturbation since I started meditating back in the 1980s. I learned a technique of meditation. I learned a technique of meditation called Shambhala. And in that, they've got a philosophy called basic goodness, where when you're in meditation, you experience life as it is, and that at the bottom of it, life is basically good. And for some reason, at that stage in my life, okay, I'm in my 20s, I was connecting everything with sex, which I still do. I connect everything I learn with our sexual impulse, with human sexuality, because we are so sexual. And so what I came up with is my sexual impulse, my horniness, my my desire to connect with other people sexually, with myself sexually, that is fundamentally good. There is just a thing about it that there is nothing bad about it. So all of the weird shit that we pile on top of sex of all kinds is a lie. And I just owned it from that moment forward. And my meditation practice kind of spread to being mindful about my masturbation, just paying attention to it and being present to it.
Yeah, no, that's a really great space to be. I feel like of everyone that I know, I should be more mindful. I mean, I try to, I th where I'm at in my journey in masturbation is being more physically attuned. I've always been a person that lived in my head. So everything is very analytical. I'm very self-aware, like painfully self-aware. And so I've found that that self-awareness has hindered me in being more sexually appealing to myself and ultimately to others, because I'm
What do
not
you
like,
mean? Sorry to interview you, but what do you mean by
that's okay.
self-aware? What do you mean by
Like
self-aware? What do you
I'm very
say?
like self-aware, like what I look like who, I don't like to be perceived. I have a huge problem being perceived, and so I'm kind of always just like projecting or acting or like kind of controlling the narrative of what people see about me rather than just be myself. And so in this year, that's something that I don't want to work on, particularly in my sex and my sexuality, where it's like this is all I have to offer, and I want to feel it all, like no matter what imperfections I have, or the hangups that we may have about our bodies, like this is my whole being, and this is who I ultimately what have to offer. And so I'm trying to get more like, so I'm doing a little bit more yoga, like I'm stretching more just to get like more breath work and like just to stay more present in this physical vessel essentially that I have for the time that I'm on Earth, I guess.
You're speaking my language. It reminds me of two things. One being the idea of mindfulness being embodiment, that you get in your body in the moment. And that is 100% about mindful masturbation, as well as just breathing, breathing meditation, paying attention to the food you're eating, the person you're making
Yeah.
love with, the music you're listening to. It's like when you're completely in it, you're in your body.
Yeah.
And the other thing that reminds me of, I'm an actor. I've been an actor most of my life. I'm an actor and singer. And when I see a performer on stage, I'm often distracted when I'm aware that they're evaluating their own performance while they're performing. Okay,
Yeah.
so like I see an actor, it's like, oh, they're so full of themselves. They're like really pink. They're in the way of their own performance. And
Yeah.
I think, so as a performer, I always think arrows out. It is my job to give to the audience and get out of my own way. So in a way, when you're looking at yourself too much, you get in your own way. You get in the way of communicating with other people, with connecting with other people in any kind of way. And
Yeah.
that's true of sex too. So when I'm having sex with
Yeah.
somebody, I can be really obsessed with it. Are they happy with what I'm doing? Am I doing this right? Instead of just focusing on their penis or their nipples or their lips or whatever, however I'm connecting with them, and just listening and paying attention and going along for the ride in the moment.
Yeah. Everything that you said makes complete sense to me. It's all about like putting it into practice. But also too, I can see how like that can be maybe not like an easy transition, but like I can see you can use the same principles as acting as you would in masturbation. Because I feel like with acting, you really have to be attuned to your own body. Like you have to be aware of what your body's capable of doing in any given situation, like in a space or like, from, the couple of acting classes that I took. And so internalizing that for so many years, I know, go with me. This shit's real. I talk about it because it's just like I need people to understand like they're not alone in having these feelings, and you don't necessarily need to love your body in order to have a sexual body. Like if you have a body, you have a sexual body. It's something that I've learned along the way. However, putting that into practice and like retraining your brain into believing that on a constant basis, it's like it's a little overwhelming sometimes. It's like you constantly have to catch it, like at that moment, and then like kind of correct, course correct, like that mental image or that intrusive thought. And it's just like, oh, okay. Anyway, all that to say that like 2024 is like the year of more butt play. Like I've always had issues and hangups with my own like anus and like butt play, but I'm just like, you know what? Like I'm an adult, I'm committed, I'm doing the work. I feel like this is probably like a good time to like segue into that. Do you like butt play and masturbation, or are you penis focused?
Well, I'm a side. I don't fuck. I don't like to fuck. I've done plenty of fucking, top and bottom. I have enjoyed them both, but I'm aware that I've just kind of evolved into a place where I don't really enjoy it nearly as much as a lot of other stuff. I love to suck cock. Sucking cock and getting sucked by somebody who's really good at it and very present and as into it as I am, that's awesome for me. And I love mutual masturbation. I love a lot of play around masturbation. That's kind of my jam. So I'd say my main squeeze is masturbation and mutual masturbation, being in the same room with and group masturbation. That's just something I just focused on as a fantasy when I was in my 20s about masturbating with lots of guys when I found out jack-off clubs existed. And it wasn't until I actually got to a jack-off club and then started my own jack-off club that I found out that, oh my God, this is something that really satisfies me deeply. So yeah, I think butt play is great if you think butt play is great. And if that's what somebody wants to do, then that's awesome. And I don't think it is intrinsically good or bad. I think it's really good for people who experience it as really good. For me, I'm not satisfied by it. I can't come anymore when I'm fucking somebody. I will do it to be good giving in game. You know, if I'm GGG, then I'm going to, and I'll enjoy my partner enjoying it, but I'm not going to get off. I'm doing it for them, not for me.
I hear that. I feel like in my experiences, I feel like when I do have penetrative sex, it's mostly for them. And I am enjoying the moment, but I'm enjoying watching them get off or like knowing that I'm pleasuring them. Because I was
Yeah,
talking to
it's
a
very
friend the other day
satisfying.
about it, and I was just like, I don't know, like, are you into like fleshlights, like toys, masturbation toys?
I don't have any.
So we were
And
talking
that's
about,
largely because I like greasy lube.
but also too, like I think the fleshlights was different, but I would just feel like I can never get as much pressure or sensation that I can with my own hand. And then that conversation stemmed from this idea of like hand mind body connection, where it's like I don't have like a piece of plastic getting in the way between myself and my own penis. Like I'm feeling it in the hand and I'm feeling it in my penis. And so that makes a connect like a I don't know, like a full body connection rather than having something in the way between you and your penis. Does that make sense?
And I think toys are great.
I
I
do like
just I'm
toys. They're fun, but
yeah, big time. And Fleshjacks sleeves are a great toy. I was hooked up to a masturbation machine once, and a guy was operating it, and that was kind of fun. But after about 10 minutes, I was like, okay, that was really interesting, but I'm not really into this. I kind of need the human on the other side of my penis, whether I'm the human or somebody else, and to get that they are sensing me as I'm sensing them.
Like more of a connection, like more of a like in present like moment of like these two people sharing like this like masturbation session together.
So I have a friend who's a very sexual guy and very sexy, and he's uncut. He has a beautiful penis, and he shared with me that he kind of had death grip syndrome for a long time, that he would always masturbate really hard, and that he'd gotten to a point where he couldn't come any other way, and he really liked to orgasm. He still does. That the Fleshjack was actually his ticket out of death grip syndrome, that he was able to find a way to really enjoy a lot of different kinds of sexual experience. So it
Oh.
was a great tool for him, and he still enjoys it.
Oh,
So that
nice.
was kind of an interesting take. But yeah, I like one of my videos is about what masturbation is and the thing that makes it unique. And this is just my take on it, kind of where I've landed at, because I'm involved a lot with a lot of mutual masturbation, but I actually think mutual masturbation is a misnomer, that it's not actually a thing. That masturbation is when you've got a hand and a penis wired to the same brain, so that you're actually experiencing the giving of pleasure and the receiving of pleasure with one brain, and that there's no other kind of sex that actually does that. That regardless of how you're stimulating yourself, whether you're including your nipples, your butthole, or your balls, or whatever, that you are causing the pleasure and experiencing the pleasure in real time, second by second. And that to me is what pure masturbation is. So, and I'm happy to explore all variations of sex, but the word masturbation to me is that dynamic of giving yourself pleasure and receiving that pleasure at the same time. And it's unique. It's a unique kind of sex.
That is really unique. Do you know when the definition of masturbation came into play?
No, do
I
you?
kind of sort of do. So I picked up a bunch of books on masturbation because I was listening to this other podcast, and it was the topic was about gooning, and I just thought it was like not a very educated podcast. Like they just were coming from a place of like observance, but not actually like, first of all, they didn't have like an actual gooner talking to them about this stuff. Anyway, it
Yeah.
was a whole heated conversation. I thought, well, if I'm gonna like talk about masturbation, it should come from a knowledgeable place. That's just what I am. I'm
Yeah.
fact-based. And so I picked up all these books. And so I'm kind of sort of like reading them, but yeah, like when the word for master, it wasn't even masturbation. It like stemmed from a Latin word, two words, and it was probably around the 1700s, 1800s. Oxford English Dictionary introduced it. Obviously, it's all based on religion. Like our found the foundations of our wording is religion based, and so the definition was self. I forgot what it was. Self-pollution was the thing that caused. That's how it was initially defined. Like you,
Yeah.
it was a disposal of semen that could be used to like bring forth life. And so if you were
Right.
not doing that, then you were self-polluting yourself, which I found really interesting. And then throughout the 1800s, it changed. And then I think the Kingsley, Kingsley, Kingsky.
Kinsey.
Alfred Kinsey, thank you.
Kinsey. Alfred
Kinsey,
Kinsey.
yes, brought into more of a well-rounded definition of masturbation, which included mutual masturbation and then like the self-defining of self-gratification. So self-pollution was
Yeah.
removed from that definition. I just found that really interesting.
Well, the first word that I encountered that referred to masturbation was autoeroticism.
Yeah, that too.
And I was 9 years old, and I was
Whoa.
digging through the nightstand in my mother's bedroom and like reading all her books. I found out all about sex. Through a sex manual that she had there. And there was
Nice.
autoeroticism. And I thought, autoeroticism, huh? So that was where I started. But I kind of like that this term, which may have originally meant self-pollution, has been like completely taken possession. I mean, we have owned it, you know, just like, you know, women own the word pussy. You know, pussy is a good thing. Penis is a good thing. Just that we acknowledge that these are really great things, and we just own the words regardless of what they meant at one time. They mean something else now.
It's just fascinating how like such a taboo sex act is like so is one of the ones that it's mostly explored, but no one ever talks about it,
Yep.
which I find really interesting. But tell me about like your start in like jerk off groups, which led you to create What is the name of the jack-off group that you host?
My club is Rain City Jacks.
Rain City Jacks. Cool. So
Yeah.
like tell me like how did that begin for you? Like where did that start?
Man, I'll try to not make this a really long story.
Okay, give me the cliff notes.
I will. When I was in my mid-20s, I was living in Aspen, Colorado, which is a small town in the mountains. I was really isolated, even though I'm in Aspen, right? I was a performer at a cabaret there. And I could pick up these gay slick magazines like Honcho and Mandate. And that was like my connection to sex was these magazines, which were like Hustler for gay people.
Yeah.
And I would take them and I would devour them and I'd masturbate all over the pages and I'd read all the stories. And there was a story in one episode in one issue, I think it was Honcho, about a jack-off club. And I'd never heard of jack-off clubs until that moment. And this, it was, you know, it was bait fuel, this story. It was like created for guys to get excited about and masturbate to, but there was something about this explanation of a guy going with a friend of his to a jack-off club and all these guys, they're masturbating together. It just like stuck in my brain. It was like, oh my God, I want to do this. I never masturbated with other guys. I think I always wanted to as soon as I discovered masturbation. But yeah, I never did. So that kind of just like fixed itself in my brain for years, but I couldn't get to a jack-off club. You know, at that point they were in New York and San Francisco, but you know, I wasn't traveling anywhere. So then, in 1990, I moved to Chicago. I left Colorado, moved to Chicago, and the very first thing I did was grab the local paper and the local entertainment weekly, and looked through the personal ads, which is, you know, how people found stuff back in the day. And I found an ad for Chicago Jack's. And I was like, this is before I had even found an apartment to live in. Okay. So I find Chicago Jack's and I go through this whole convoluted thing of like copying my ID and mailing it to them and then getting a mail back where they would tell me where to go and when. And then I go there on the appointed day and I walk up these steps to this brownstone and a guy just opens the door a little bit. And then he gets my identity and then he lets me in and I experienced my first jack-off club. And it was just inexplicably hot for me. It was like all the fantasies I'd had just became real. Where guys would just, and I'm in my 20s, I'm very hot. And you know, I've always had a very perky penis, and I was very popular. So people were like all over me. And I had cum dripping down my legs, and I came a couple of times, and I made friends, and I came back week after week after week. Every time they had an event, I was there,
Nice.
and it was just the best thing. Then a year later, just a year after finding this, I fell in love with somebody, and
That you met at the jack-off party?
no, that I met in
Okay.
theater, that I met
Oh,
in a
okay.
show I was in. And I had been like deliberately single from age 18 until then. And at this point, I'm 33. So I'm 33. I meet this person. I fall completely in love with him. I'm still with him. We're
Wow.
married. And, but for that first year, I thought, I think I want to try being monogamous. And I'd never been monogamous before. So we were monogamous. And that lasted for 10 years. So I stopped going to the jack-off club. I stopped, you know, having sex with anybody but this guy who I was in love with. And I don't regret it. So 10 years after we got together, we decided to become non-monogamous. We both started cheating, and that wasn't working. We both knew something was wrong, and we had the talk. And decided to become non-monogamous. And we explored what that meant. And for me, I was still in love with my now husband. I didn't want a new boyfriend. I just wanted to have sex. And the sex that I really wanted was group sex. I wanted to have group masturbation like I'd had at Chicago Jack's. So I started the process of looking for a jack-off club, and it just I found this guy who was getting people together in a hotel room, and he was calling it Seattle Jackers, but there was also oral sex going on there, and I'm kind of a purist, and I thought, okay, this isn't quite as safe as masturbation, and I went along with it, but it wasn't exactly right. So I took some of the ideas that he gave me, and I modeled a new group based on what he was doing in hotel rooms, and I started to invite people to this hotel room on the regular. And I came up with the name Marine City Jacks because seattlejacks.com was not available. It was like $8,000 or something. So, or whatever. It was too expensive for me. But Marine City Jacks was available. And so I got the website. I started luring people in using a Yahoo group of people who were
Luring.
interested in masturbation. And just 2 months later, I found a space that I could rent and host regularly. And I just built it into a business that is now a nonprofit with thousands of members and about 45 events a year.
45?
Yeah,
Holy
we
shit.
have. Yeah, we meet pretty much every week except for major holidays,
Yeah.
yeah, it's very successful.
Yeah.
We average 85 guys at every event. We have an amazing space that we host at. We're completely legal. And it became this big thing that people are aware of. And it part of it is I'm just very OCD. Go ahead.
How long have you been hosting that?
Since 2005.
Okay. Oh,
So 18 and a half years.
yeah, really long time.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's
Holy shit.
really cool. I don't know. Like, I just feel like I know of a couple of like baiters. Oh, we have the LA Jacks. I've actually never been to the LA Jacks here in LA. There's something
LAX
about,
Jax.
yeah, I feel like
Yeah.
I don't know,
I've
for
been
me,
there.
like 80 can be a little much. I feel like I probably would need to start. I went to recent, not too recently, maybe like a year ago, I went to a party and it was probably like maybe 40, and it was a really small hotel room. I don't know, it just felt really claustrophobic to me. But I did enjoy
40 in a
meet.
hotel room?
Yeah. Maybe
Holy crap.
I don't know if it was like 40, maybe it was 40. It was
Yeah.
pretty packed. But I enjoyed meeting you at Palms and Palm Springs. What was it? Healthy Friction.
Healthy friction.
That's fun because
Yeah.
it was bigger space. You had the three pools. You had that back grotto area, which is really cool. That was really fun. I feel like if I'm gonna do like a party or like a retreat, I wanted to have that kind of a vibe. 40 in a hotel room seems a little seedy to me. I don't know why. Even though it's not, it
Yeah.
just seems a little much. I need to like get out. Like I need to
Yeah.
walk around and shit.
No, totally.
What about
I'm a
your
big
space? What does that look like?
yeah, it's a large erotic art gallery. I think the fire code limit is 175, right around there. And the most we've had is 200, but not all at the same time at an event. So we would like hold the door when we hit capacity, and then we'd let some people leave, and then we'd let some people in. Just
Got it.
kind of like, just like a bar,
Yeah.
where if you hit capacity, you can't let more in.
Is there a
That was
time
our,
limit you have in people?
it is
Really?
a, yeah, like our events usually start at 7 p.m. and
Right.
they're done at 9:30, so it's 2.5 hours long. We
Oh,
only let
okay.
people enter during the first hour, and that means that there's a always the same kind of curve of energy that at about 15 minutes everybody kind of there's enough people there for people to loosen up,
I
and
see.
then at an hour later it is just super hot and super fun, and that lasts about an hour, and then people come and they leave. But when you said 85 sounds like a bit much, it's not. It's actually not. 85 would be too much for a hotel, right? For a hotel room, unless it's a
Sure,
ballroom,
yeah.
okay? It all depends on the space. And Even if you go to an event with 85 or 100 or 200 guys, you're not playing with 85 or 100 or 200 guys. You're going to play with the people that you connect with. So it's going to be one guy, maybe, or five guys, or 10 guys, and it's spread out over that. It's just who you click with. So it's more like going to a buffet. You don't eat everything on the buffet.
I
You
mean,
like look
you
around and you go
could.
for what looks good. Yeah, you could, but then you'd be sick.
But see, that's where my self-awareness comes into play. Like the idea of like being surrounded by all these people, like the perceptions and like I don't know, it's a little overwhelming to me. But still, like I do you know who Brother Bader is? So he actually lives really close to me. We actually live in the same
Oh,
vicinity.
cool.
And he's always invited me over to his parties and I always decline. And I feel like he hates me and it's nothing personal, but I always tell him just like, listen, you gotta give me a break here. Like I have a lot of social anxiety. And just I've been to his parties before and they're fun. They're really great fun. He's a really great host. But I think all of last year I was not in a good place. You know, have some things working, you know, this year that are taking. So like I'm at a better place for me to be like more socially inclined. That's my goal this year to like baby steps. 'Cause I can remember back in the day, you know, I was out and I was doing my thing, but I don't know, somehow maybe you can relate to this. I feel like as you get older, you just get a little bit more introverted. Is that relatable to you? Is that just me?
No, not to me, because I'm definitely not an introvert. I'm more of an ambivert. I'm very flexible with social situations.
Oh, okay. I feel like I was once upon a time, and I don't know, like somewhere along my late 30s, I like transitioned out of it. It was weird.
Well, I think understanding your own comfort level with socializing is really important to just own, to recognize and to own. It's like, yeah,
No.
I don't feel comfortable in big groups. So if that's where I'm supposed to go to be gay, it's like, maybe I'm not gay. You're totally gay. You just don't like
You just
crowds,
don't,
or
yeah,
you,
you just don't like circle
yeah.
jerks. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. I feel like it's something that I, again, that I need to like practice in my everyday life. And it's something that I worked with in therapy. My therapist was like, you know, you can always take a break wherever you are. And I was like, that never occurred to me. So like just this past Christmas, a friend of mine came to stay with me and I was out with them to the bars and like we went like socializing and stuff. And I would say probably 30 minutes into this like bar just started getting me crowded and I was like I need a break, like I need to physically remove myself. And that and it just was so validating because I could just, you know, can make that happen for myself where it's like okay, I'm gonna go outside, walk a block, come back, decompress, and like back at it again. And I think it's I don't know, I share that tidbit for anyone who's like suffers with social anxiety. Like you can always take the break. You're not obligated to stay anywhere you don't feel comfortable staying. And that includes circle jerks.
100%.
Right?
Yes.
Has that ever happened in a circle jerk? Like, to someone just not feel comfortable and they're just like, I'm out of here. This isn't for me.
Yes. Yeah, that happens. People will show up if they get all the way into the event, then chances are they're going to stay. Chances are they've thought it through. We always give a new member orientation, so there's a session where you actually talk to a person who
Oh,
says, well,
nice.
here's how the club works. Here's what the rules are. Here's where the bathroom is. Here's where the lockers are. My name is, fill in the blank, and you can come to me if you have any questions. It's just a way of humanizing it and helping people to relax.
No, yeah, I think that's important.
It really helps. But yeah, for some people, I'd say a very small number, once they get into the event, they may think, this just isn't my thing. This isn't working for me. And then they'll go get their clothes on and they leave. And no harm done. They tried something and it wasn't right for them. And then there are people who will come back every single week. They'll be like I was, when I discovered that first jack-off club.
You do like do you do presentations at the circle? I feel like you'd be really good at that. Like if you have like a
No,
mini
not
like
really. I like being the ringleader. I like making it all happen, kind of setting everybody loose and then walking through the space and just taking it all in, seeing how people are interacting. It's very gratifying. to be around men, being authentic, and just I'm having a technical issue.
Yeah, you're frozen like this. Ah.
Okay.
You're very in thought. Oh, there you go.
Okay. Yeah. So,
Wait, so you don't participate then? You just kind of like
oh,
a
I
host.
100% participate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just
100%.
imagine you like walking around kind of making sure that everyone's doing well, which I'm sure you do, because
Yeah.
that's, I feel like you give me good host vibes.
I feel very good in the space. I like
Yeah.
being around all these different guys. I do feel that I care that every single person, regardless of their physicality, their age, their race, whoever they are, I want them to have a good chance at finding out if this is a good experience for them. So I care and I walk around and I offer my penis for sure. And I often connect with guys and I pretty much always have a really good time masturbating with my new friends and old friends. It's my scene. Like I said, it just really works for me.
Yeah, that's cool. Damn,
Yeah.
I want to
But
be more.
performative, not a whole lot. It's like we
Yeah.
show porn on the wall. We've got a big screen projection, and people watch it and they enjoy it, but the show is in the room. It's the people.
Yeah, I
So
feel
it's
like,
like a good break.
yeah, no, I agree. Like, it's nice to like have something, to stimulate, visually.
Yeah.
Like when I do my own bait sessions here in my place, I like it all. Like, I like to watch the porn, I like to hear it, so I'll play like bait audio tracks. So I'll have like
Yeah.
on the low. And then I'll have a screen, and then I'll have like my lights red. So like it's a whole full sensory intake. And then you
Yeah.
have the bro or the bros, whoever accepted the invite, which is really cool. But I want to know, I'm curious to know like your journey of like how did you know that you were a side? Like how did that begin to manifest itself in your life?
Sure. Through lots of experimentation, I'm very in favor of people trying what seems interesting to them. So I had all the sex when I was in my 20s and 30s. And so I fucked and I sucked and I fisted and played with different kinds of role play. Bondage, different kinds of costume fetish stuff, and it was all just exploring, finding out what I liked, seeing if something, if it was just a little interesting, I'd be game to give it a shot. I've always been very game, okay? And along the way, it's like tasting a lot of different things. You find out what's really delicious to you, what really satisfies you. And so I felt like I learned a lot about sex. I learned a lot about how to connect with other people and be fully present and to really dig into where my deepest pleasure was, wherever that might be. And over time, just kind of letting go of the things that were less satisfying for me. So, yeah, I recognize that I personally prefer not to have sex with smokers. Although there are occasionally exceptions, right? I found that I am less satisfied with people who are less experienced, and that I'm not really interested in men who are necessarily below 30, although there are exceptions, right? I found out that I mean, I experimented with shaving my body hair, shaving my penis, my balls, my pubes. Found out that that didn't really work for me very well, and that I was really turned on by body hair. That turns out to be my number one thing. So it's just trial and error. You learn about what works for you sexually by just trying everything that seems interesting to you. And of course, if it's not interesting or if it actively squicks you out, you shouldn't go there, right? Unless, you got to kind of pay attention. And then, so one of the things that fell away was anal sex. I like to have my hole touched. I really like to have the hair around my butthole I like to have contact with that. I don't mind getting a finger in my hole, but I'm just not deeply into it. So yeah,
So
that's how
like,
I ended up rediscovering that I fit into the side category.
yeah, no, I feel like I feel like that sexual journey is a little similar to mine. But I'm curious now, like in the time that you were having like these sexual experimentation phase,
Right.
had you always been masturbating?
Yes.
Yeah, that's just, I'm the same way too. And I feel like that was what kind of led me to begin to understand like, oh, the foundation, the basis of my sexuality is masturbation, and everything else piles on top of that. Because when I was, trying bondage and fisting and threesomes and all this stuff like that, I always inevitably came back to masturbation. That's what felt most safe and most comfortable to me.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
and
think that's
so,
normal.
yeah, and I think it's it. I think it's yes, it's normal, and I think it's something that a lot of masturbators should pay attention to. When they say, "Oh, I'm not a masturbator," I do that as a hobby. Okay, well, really explore that. What's your body telling you? Like, how are you really feeling in that moment? Again, that's my like feeling journey of like 2024, just to get more, just to get more into tune and just to be like a better masturbator every single day, I think is like
Yeah.
certainly the goal. But I'm curious, when you met your partner, at that point in your life, were you masturbating or were you into sex? Like, how did the sexual role play with your partner kind of work its way itself out?
Masturbation has been part of my life since I was 9 years old. I've never stopped masturbating. I've experimented with brief periods of abstinence. But for the most part, I masturbate every day, and that I just want to. My body wants it. There was something about doing it really early when I was 9, when I discovered masturbation, and I had orgasms and ejaculating when I was 9. I think it's because I was so young, and it was before I was hearing faggot, and other kids my age were, kind of teasing each other about sex, that I just had this feeling, this is mine and this is great and I can do this. And there was something about that I can do this thought that turned into I can always say yes to this. And so that is kind of my baseline slogan, say yes to masturbation. I can always say yes. So I've always, from that moment, from that realization that this is mine, this is completely mine. I possess my body, I possess my penis, I possess my pleasure. I can say yes to sex. And yeah, it's been really good. So that's always been part of my experience. So I never stopped masturbating. I never felt like, oh, I owe this to somebody else to, save my orgasm for them or not. It's like I don't, nobody gives me an orgasm. I share my orgasm with them. I allow them to interact with me, and then I'm
That's a
sharing
great,
my sexuality with them.
that's a really great perspective to have for sure. It's
Yeah.
all about, yeah, I definitely feel like masturbation is certainly all about like autonomy and ownership for sure. And it's really helped me navigate the people that I want in my life, the sexual people that I want in my life, because I'm no longer attracted to the idea of like, oh, I need to get laid by someone. I can lay
Yeah.
myself. I need to know what it is that you're offering me other than sex. It's a really powerful place to be, because then you're
Yeah.
just like, oh, that's not about me, or that's not my vibe, or that's not what I see myself in the next 10 years. And you can't be with that, or like if you can't be with me in that the aspect of my life, then I don't need it
Yeah.
because the sex is already taken care of. But I'm curious to know,
And
because you're yours, yeah, go ahead.
yeah, I want to say when we embrace masturbation, then we kind of take that off the table as a do or die thing with a partner. So I'm not looking for somebody else to complete me and to validate my sexuality because I'm coming into it valid. I'm coming into it complete. So it's all this other stuff that I can pay attention to. I can pay attention to whether we have the same sense of humor, whether, I like how their spit tastes. I mean, there's all these other parts of compatibility that really matter, but I don't have to worry about whether I'm sexually valid or not. I am. I'm starting out that way.
Yeah, I'm coming into this situation knowing that my sex is the shit. No, I love that. But I'm curious to know, like, you're, because you're in your notes that you sent me, your self-describes atheist. So I'm curious to know, like, growing up, masturbation, like, did you grow up in a religious home? Did you have a religion? Did you practice religion? Did that come into play or affect your masturbation habits in any way?
I grew up in a kind of performative Judaism. So it's like we were Reformed Jews and we went to temple. We did, we lit the candles on Hanukkah. I said the prayer, but we were all kind of acting it out. N none of my family are really believers, except for my grandfather. So we had to go through the motions of Judaism in order to not offend my grandfather. And then once he died, we just completely stopped doing any of that. So I really come by atheism pretty much naturally. I wasn't raised to believe in any kind of supernatural being. So I just own it.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah.
That's cool. That was not my experience. That's the reason why I asked. And I just feel like I grew up in a very religious home, and so I feel like
Yeah.
a lot of
So did
that.
my husband.
Yeah, so it takes time to kind of, it's another aspect of like my soul sexuality where I had to learn to
Oh, yeah.
deshame it, where it was just like, it's sex isn't bad, I'm not going to hell for this.
Yeah.
And then the whole gay thing came into play. It's like, okay, that was a whole different thing. So again, it's
Right.
I guess it's like a never ending journey. But I feel like that's really
Yeah.
exciting though. Like, it just doesn't stop because you'll always find something that's going to be a hang up, and then you lean in and you're just like, okay, why am I bugging about this thing? It's
Yeah.
bugging me for a reason. I should really pay attention to it. And so I don't know. Inquisitive, I guess. Curious is a really fun place to be for me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, literally, I'm an agnostic. I'm like a pure agnostic. I kind of, my whole spiritual, if you want to use the word spiritual, my whole spiritual center is I'm curious about all the things we cannot know. And that works for me better than I will ascribe this story to everything we don't know. And I'll say the story is true when we're just filling in a blank that we can't know. I would rather just keep exploring the unknown and keep just wondering about all the things in life that excite me and or confound me. So I'm a pure agnostic, but I use the word atheist because I don't believe any supernatural anything. So that just kind of cuts to the quick. It's like,
Can penis be a religion?
sure, anything can. Anything can be a religion. People do worship penis. There's a lot of penis worship going on.
I know a few. I know a few.
Oh yeah. Oh
'Cause I
yeah.
feel like masturbation can be very spiritual and religious, very much so.
Well, a lot of religion, pretty much all religion has some sexual component. If nothing else, how it seeks to control sexuality. Right? So the main religions, including Christianity, Judaism, Islam, they all strictly control the expression of sex. They've got, these are okay ways to do it, these are not okay ways to do it, And it's very, very restrictive. And that's part of the power that they wield over us because sex is core to being a human being.
Yeah, you're totally right. I guess just always stay curious, right? Question everything. Yeah, no, it's a good place to be.
Yeah, I believe in just always asking questions. Just keep asking questions. Because there are
Yeah.
always questions to ask and they take you somewhere.
For sure. Okay, cool. So can we play a really fun game?
Yes.
So I've been doing this game called Goon or God.
I was
And
wondering
it's
if
just
we were going to play this. Let's do it.
we are. Because I have like new stuff that I've been like looking at, and Just like thinking about it's like just random shit. But Gunnergan, so if you have not have heard this podcast, or if you don't know what Gunnergan is, I'm gonna list off things, people, places, items, whatever, random. And we're either gonna goon for it, meaning we love it, or it's gonna go, so it's gonna be gone. And then, feel free to put in your two cents.
Of course.
Okay, number one, breakfast cereal.
Gone.
What?
Gone, baby. Gone.
Wait, what's wrong with breakfast cereal? But you don't like a good Frosted Flakes?
It's because I'm a keto animal.
Oh, got
I'm,
it.
yeah, I don't do cereal, period.
That's why you're so fit. Maybe I should do like no cereal.
Yep. It definitely works well for me.
Okay,
Not
so
eating.
what are you doing in the breakfast, or what are you doing in the mornings?
I generally fast in the mornings and then I go work out really hard and then I'll pop a couple of hard-boiled eggs. I might have
Yeah.
a protein drink, or I generally eat meat and eggs and cheese, vegetables. I eat some berries, but I don't do bread or starches or anything like that. It's just my
You're not like
dietary weirdness. So for me personally, and I think all my gooner gone are just about me. This is just me, right?
Obviously,
So,
yes.
I definitely had my what was it, Lucky Charms? I had a Lucky Charms phase that was serious. Okay.
I
That was a
grew
long
up
time
on
ago.
cereal because like my parents were so busy working. They had three kids, three boys. And so my parents were like, my mom was like, I ain't cooking you shit. Like you better go grab that like Raisin Bran or like, whatever
Yeah.
cereal. She tried to keep it healthy, but like, our asses would sneak in like Fruity Pebbles and shit.
Yeah.
I still goon for it. Like the reason why too is because when my grandmother was alive, she loved Frosted Flakes. She loved Frosted Flakes. So like it was her thing. And so
Oh.
Yeah, so like sometimes I'll go grab a box of like Frosted Flakes and I'll just like, I don't know, reminisce.
That's right.
Okay, cool. Number two, reading. Like actually
Reading.
reading, like reading a physical book, like
I goon on reading.
yeah, again,
Goon.
I'm trying to get more into physically reading. I'm more into audio
Yeah.
because I feel like my ADD is like out of sync. But
You hear
I
my
love
doorbell going off?
no. There was a doorbell?
Good. Yeah, my
No,
doorbell went off.
I don't hear it. Do you need to grab that?
No.
Oh, okay. But I do enjoy reading a physical book because I like highlighting and like marking things and like
Yeah.
saving them and like being able to like track it for like informational purposes. I heard a dog.
Yeah. Can I take a break?
Yes.
I will come back to those.
Yeah, for
I let
sure.
Gunnar go on. How rude. Oh.
What kind of dog do you have?
Oh, he's a Jake, come here. Come here. Jake, come. This is Jake.
Oh, so
He's an
sweet.
adorable mutt. Yes.
I love dog. I want a dog so bad. I just don't know if I can handle one right now.
Oh, they're a lot.
Don't say that.
They
Like
are. They're a lot.
my dream is to like just get a dog and have it be like the most easy thing in the world, but probably not. I want a pet so bad that I thought about getting like a bird. But I was like, I don't want a bird.
Wow.
I want a dog.
Dogs are a commitment. They need you. They really need people,
I
and
know
they
that's
let
what
you
I'm saying. Like,
know.
oh, that's what I
So,
need. I
but
need like a dog that's gonna like love me. As soon as I get home, it's gonna be like so happy to see me.
yes, they will do that. They will need you. They will love you.
Okay,
You have to
reading
pick up a lot
Gunnergan.
of shit. Yes.
Okay, reading Gunnergan. We goon for reading.
Reading is goon.
Yeah, what are you
Yeah.
reading these days?
Let's see. I'm reading several things and I'd have to look. I'm reading
Do you read mostly fiction, nonfiction?
I mostly read nonfiction or science fiction. I really like science fiction. I just finished I think the guy's name is Tchaikovsky is the author, and it's called, oh, I should remember this. It's a science fiction book about spiders that intelligent spiders that take over a planet, and it's just super fun. And it's pure science fiction. It's called
Arachnophobia. No, I'm kidding.
Children of Earth,
Jeez.
Children of Earth by Tchaikovsky.
Were you a
But
big
that,
X-Files fan?
yeah, I did watch a lot of X-Files. I was very unsatisfied with it at the end. I thought this just got stupid. But yeah, I was also a big Battlestar Galactica fan, the remake of Battlestar Galactica, and I'm a Trekker. I love Star Trek.
Yeah, I grew up with watching Star Trek with my older brother when we were growing up. I never understood it. I was like, okay, cool science, but it wasn't
Strange
really.
New Worlds is so good. If you haven't,
However,
that it is so good.
I am obsessed
See
with
how
like.
we just like completely left the reading realm and went right to television.
Well, no, I'm really fascinated with like science and sci like I love like science, like alien space movies. No, science is cool. Because like you it's a pure you're gonna get a pure answer, like someone's gonna research the shit out of it and give you like a legit answer. Number three, Broad City. Do you know this television show?
I don't.
Oh my God.
I don't
Okay.
watch. I don't watch much television at all, honestly.
Oh, that's fine. I
So.
don't watch it either, but I loved so it's a comedy show. It's no longer a series, but it's like it ran for 5 seasons. It's called Broad City, and it's
Okay.
basically like these two, like I think they were Gen Z girls living in New York, and it was super referential and like really smart and just really funny. I don't know, it's on Hulu, you should
Okay.
check it out.
All right.
But the two main actors have like gone on to like do other television stuff. I was just like rewatching this series and it's really fun.
Okay.
So hopefully you'll goon for that. Are you goon for do you watch sitcoms? What's like a favorite sitcom of yours?
I don't watch hardly any television at
Okay.
all. I watch sci-fi.
Do you goon you goon for TV, right? Oh, okay.
I don't. My husband watches TV. He's a musician. He like spends most of the day working on either musical programs for the elderly or for one of his choirs, or he's writing music all the time. And then he goes and he watches television for 3 or 4 hours to unwind.
Yeah,
So
I can
he's
see
like
that.
all about the TV. When I sit down in front of the TV, it's usually to watch a movie, or if one of these sci-fi shows is on, then I'll watch sci-fi. But yeah,
Nice.
my genre is pretty narrow. I the average week I'll watch zero television.
I watch way too
Right?
much YouTube. Yeah, no, it's good. I should probably.
Okay, YouTube I do watch. I do watch YouTube.
Okay. That's I feel like YouTube is like our loophole.
Yeah,
Okay,
exactly.
number four, dim sum. Do you enjoy dim
Oh,
sum?
goon.
Yeah, I go for dim sum
Oh,
too.
fuck yes. I love dim sum.
I just
That's what
had
we do
dim
for
sum.
Christmas every year. That's our Christmas tradition.
Oh, nice. What, y'all make dim sum? Do y'all like buy it and like
No,
eat
we
it
go
somehow?
out. We go out. This is the Jew in me. We spend Christmas at a Chinese restaurant, and we usually
That's
find a
fun.
good dim sum restaurant, and then we invite a bunch of friends and we hang out and we just act like idiots and eat tons and tons of dumplings.
Hell yeah, I
Love dim
ordered I
sum.
like Grubhub some dumplings that I hadn't gotten from a neighborhood or a neighborhood restaurant that I
Yeah.
really love for a while, and I got it and I was like, holy shit, it's fucking good. It's good. It's like a little meat clutch. Like just like it's so perfect. Yeah. You know.
I bet you've got a lot of good dim sum in LA.
We do, yeah. There's a couple of places for sure. Yeah. LA has a lot of good food. Yeah. You
I
can eat.
believe it. Seattle has a lot of good food.
I believe it too. You know, I heard that we are I do you travel a lot to Portland? I heard Portland has really good food too.
Yes. Oh, God, I love Portland. Yes.
Is Seattle a good place to move to? I've been thinking about moving out of LA.
Oh, my God. If you're used to the. It's so expensive.
I've been to
It's
Seattle
crazy
once.
expensive.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I think California is the most expensive place overall, but the Seattle area is like almost Bay Area level of high cost of living. We have
But
a
it must
lot
be
of
like
homeless. It's
super
hard to live here.
nice. Oh, okay. Well,
So, but it's a beautiful place to visit.
thanks for keeping it real. I was
Yeah.
either thinking of going to Portland or someone also said Austin, Texas. I feel like Austin would be a fun place.
I really like Portland. I've not been to Austin yet.
Me
I've heard
neither.
really good
I should go
things.
visit. I've never been to Portland either. I was
Austin
thinking
has a
of
jack-off club.
does it?
Yes, it
Is it
does.
Portland? I feel like Portland would have one
Yes, it
too.
does.
See?
Yeah, there's Austin Jack's, and then Portland has Stumptown Strokes. And I go there every chance I get. I'm supposed to go there this Sunday.
Can I go with you to a jackal party next week?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
Yeah,
cool.
sure.
Okay, next, love handles. Gunnergon.
Goon.
I like love handles, they're cute.
Goon, fuck yeah. No, I like real men's real bodies.
Me
I'm
too.
very into them. Yeah,
There's something
yeah.
so hearty about like holding on to this like thick
Oh,
torso. I don't know.
yeah. I like guys with meat on their bones.
Yeah.
Although I like thin guys too. I mean, it's yeah, I've got a thing for substantial men.
I always say I'm loving the body that you got. Like if I meet you and you're working whatever you got, that's the body that I'm gonna take. Like I'm not gonna wish for anything more or less. It's just what it is.
Yes. What I'm most attracted to in a partner is their own embodiment, that they are in their body and they're completely available to share it with me. So regardless of how big their dick is or what kind of shape their body is, if they're like, "I'm here for pleasure right now, let's do it," then I'm like, yeah. If
Yeah,
they're
that's what I'm
responsive and
talking
available,
about.
yeah.
That's like that whole like embodied, like being so close to your life, like
Yes.
your own physical well-being. Yeah, that's what I'm striving for. Okay, cool. We're on the same page. Well, this one you're gonna goon for circle jerks. Obviously. I want to put a big goon on this when I edit it.
No, duh.
And then the last may not apply, but I'd like to hear your take on it. Maybe you have some advice, like dating apps. And the reason why I say
Gone.
date,
I'm completely gone on those. Gone.
I just like I'm at a point in my life. So I was telling you earlier how like this year I want to be more social, and I thought, oh, I could be
Yes.
more social through dating apps, like really not just like going through the motions, but like really like taking it seriously, like listing all my shit and like really finding someone that's compatible. Because I don't think I've ever really done that. But you say no to dating apps. Why is that?
Yeah, they are literally gone from my phone. They are gone. The only one I don't use for cruising, and that is Sniffies. I use it to as marketing for Rain City Jacks, so that when I'm at an event, I check in at Rain City Jacks, and then if people say, "Hey, what's this?" then I answer their questions. So that is purely a marketing thing. I'm spoiled in a lot of ways. I have a lot. I'm at a jack off party every single fucking week. I have a husband who I love. I have bater buddies who I've met at the jacks. So I've got lots of IRL sex. And when I'm horny and I want to connect with someone, I'm very happy to do that online. I'm very happy to go into Bait World VidChat and just show off and watch and exchange with those people. I have no shortage of sex in my life, so I don't need a cruising app. But the thing that bugs me is that the culture that kind of grows up around that is like the worst of gay culture. Just it is like as reductivist as anything. It kind of reduces us to a dick pic. And I would far rather connect with a person, even if all we're doing is masturbating together, that I want that person there. And it's just presentational. It's just like the pic and the profile. But if you like look at my profile on Bait World, you're gonna see I lay myself out there. I'm very clear. And I put everything on there. So feel free to look me up on Bait World, Rain City Jack.
Yeah, same. I feel like I interact have a better interaction with those that are more willing to share more about themselves. I often do get hit up at like these brand profiles, and it's like, hey, sup. But I'm so maybe it's not necessarily dating apps, but like the type of dating app. So like maybe like Grindr and Scruff can be a little bit more reductive in our community. Whereas, maybe something like Tinder or Bumble can be a little bit more useful, because then you're actually interacting with someone, and like it
Yeah.
isn't solely about sex, but rather like,
Sure.
hey, I'm actually a person that wants to has an interest in bowling. Do you want to go bowl? And so then you take that
Yeah.
avenue. I don't know. That's where I'm at. I feel like that's
Well,
why I've been able to successfully differentiate between the apps to know exactly what I want at any given time.
yeah. Well, I have
But
two older siblings who both met their current spouses on OkCupid. One of my best friends in San Francisco, he's got an amazing partner who he met on OkCupid. So maybe it's the app. I think it's more. Why it's gone for me is that I have lost my tolerance for flakes and no-shows. It's like, if you're not serious about this, then why are you wasting my time? I'm an elderly person. My time is valuable. I don't have as much as you do, right?
Yeah,
So
it's true.
it's like I have no tolerance for wasting my time anymore. And
Yeah.
it's like all time wasted. There's very little actual payoff for me from cruising apps. And my dick pics look good. It's
Well,
not about the dick pics.
it helps that you have a great
So
dick.
I have a great dick, yes.
Yeah, so that's always like helpful. Yeah, I feel like who knows how to date anymore? Like it's just so
Right?
weird. Like I'm so just so used to being like in this bait community of like penis and brotherly love, and it's just like, it's
Yeah.
kind of it's more of like a free love mentality where I'm just like easily just sharing my sex. And
Yeah.
that's what I'm getting in return, and that's ultimately what I'm gonna meet up for. But I don't know. I feel like something in me is kind of like needing a little bit more attention, this side of me, it's needing a little bit more nurture, a little bit more
Yeah.
affection. And I'm again, a part of this self-awareness is coming into like, what is it that I really want? And I feel like I haven't really done that most of my life. Even on a day like today, like to sit down and say, okay, what do I feel like doing today? What's gonna make me most happy? It's doing this podcast, and then what's the next thing that's gonna enjoy in my day? I'm gonna go shopping for groceries and eat something
Yeah.
really nice. And so like just my problem has always been again, I just have a lot of anxiety, and so I just need to always stay more present and more focused and like more me, right? What is it that makes Beastly happy?
Yeah. You should go visit some animal shelters and see what dogs are available.
So I did that. I feel like I actually volunteered for like two places to like help out at the animal shelter, and I did
Awesome.
both. I tried to do both, and I quit both, only because it just wasn't for me. Like I just was expecting something else, and like I just didn't really enjoy
Yeah.
the way they were facilitating the volunteer programs. But I definitely want to. I feel like when I do get a dog, I'll definitely adopt for sure.
Yeah. Let's go visit some puppies.
And what'll that do
There's a
for
good
me?
way to spend your time.
Oh, yeah, rather than cruising for flakes online. Yeah,
Right. The kind of cruising app that I think we need is like Friender, Friendr. We need a cruising app for finding people to just hang out with, to go get coffee with, to go have a conversation with.
there has to be an app like that. There has to
There
be.
has to be.
Do you know
Yeah,
there
because
actually
people are
there's
using Grindr that way.
exactly, but there's a I think they just followed me, and I was just looking online. There's like talks about like it's called, I don't know, I think it's called the Bait Finder, but it's essentially like an app mostly for like baiters. I
Oh
think it's
yeah.
being developed in the UK, and they're getting funding for their initial launch.
I
But
love that.
yeah, no, I think it's great. I think things are evolving. Things are becoming more inclusive in the sexual space, so the sexual health space. So I think that's really exciting. Hey, thanks so much for like talking to me about like masturbation and all the things that you do. Where can people learn
Yeah.
more about who you are? And I will have all these things in the notes in the description box, but where can people find you?
Well, sure. You can learn a lot about me by listening to my podcast, which is the Heart of Jack's Podcast. And you just search for the Heart of Jack's Podcast, because that's me talking to all kinds of people. And I've definitely laid myself out there. On Baitworld, you can find me at Rain City Jack. That's no S's in there. And I have a Mastodon server that I run for baiters, and that is called mastobate.social. And it's spelled just like it sounds,
Nice.
mastobate dot social. I run that, and it's like a Twitter for baiters. I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, very
Oh, and
cool.
I should mention raincityjacks.org, as in orgasm. If you're ever in Seattle, come visit my Jackoff Club. You will probably meet me there because I'm there.
Nice. In the
Yeah.
flesh.
In the flesh.
In the meaty flesh. Thank you
It
so much again. I love having these conversations, and I love
was a
hearing
real pleasure.
different perspectives on masturbation and solo sexuality. Go follow Paul. Check out all the cool stuff that he's doing. I'm BC Bader. You know where to find me on all socials. And thanks for listening to this episode. And we'll see you in the next one.
Hey, what's up? It's me, BC. Hey, I hope you really enjoy this episode of the Betascape podcast. I love producing these shows. I love talking to other masturbators about masturbation. And I just love talking to other people about sex in general. If you love this episode, make sure that you like, follow, subscribe, and that you're sharing. Probably the most important thing that you can do for this podcast is to share it. Share it with everyone you know. Share it with that solo sexual masturbator, bater gooner in your life. Let them know that they're not alone in their solo sexuality. And again, I thank you always so much for your continued support with this podcast. Love ya.